Hear now the Holy Gospel according to the 10th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 25th verse. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among these robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let me tell you the story of Hugo Alfredo Tail Yaks, an immigrant who had come to America from Guatemala. We'll call him Hugo. On April 18th, 2010, in New York City, a woman was being threatened by a man wielding a knife. Without hesitation, Hugo rushed to her aid and fought with the attacker. But in the struggle, Hugo was stabbed and left to die on a street in Queens. As he lay bleeding, the woman and the attacker ran off in different directions. Surveillance cameras filmed portions of the attack and the disgusting events which followed. The cameras showed that one man photographed Hugo with his cell phone as Hugo lay dying. 18 others saw or walked right past him, all neglected to help him or even to contact authorities. The closest anyone came to assisting Hugo was a man who actually shook the body vigorously, but on seeing a pool of blood, he got scared and walked away. Firefighters arrived 15 minutes later, and by then, it was too late and Hugo had died. How could they, we wonder? What would motivate such deliberate inaction for the people who just walked away? We never live far from the parable Jesus told about a man beaten and left for dead on the dangerous road between Jerusalem and Jericho. In Jesus' story, too, there are passersby who might have stopped but didn't. Kenneth Bailey, who is a New Testament scholar and who knows the culture of the Middle East, ancient and current, has a book titled Through Peasant Eyes that he authored. He explains why the priest and the Levite may have chosen not to help the wounded victim of such a violent crime. By Bailey's reckoning, the man's injuries were such that the 2 religious leaders simply could not determine if their rules would allow them to help. He was stripped naked and beaten to the point of death, Jesus says. For the priest and the Levite, that meant that they couldn't tell if the man was Jewish by his clothing or by asking him. You see, in Jesus' day, it was quite easy to tell if someone was Jewish by the way that they dressed. This man's clothes were gone. And half dead means he was at the very point of death. He probably couldn't speak. For all the priests knew, the man was dead, and there were strict rules about touching the dead. In other words, because they could not be sure that the man was one of their own and alive, both passed him by. The priest and the Levite had just come from Jerusalem, probably returning home to Jericho after their 2 weeks of service. The priest doesn't even come near the wounded man and just simply passes by. Jesus tells us that the Levite, though, actually first comes where the man lay, and then he too passes by. He came close, but chose not to help the man. There are boundaries, after all, and rules of engagement, rules so strong that they overpower the emotions and the compassion that were necessary for action to help him. The whole story, this parable, is told in response to a young expert on law and tradition, a lawyer, who is out to test Jesus and play the crowd that followed him. How disturbing it must have been when Jesus identifies the one who helped the wounded man as a Samaritan. A Samaritan is one who is hated by the Jews, who helps a Jewish man in crisis. And moved by compassion, the Samaritan does all that is needed and more to be sure that the man survives. Bailey comments that a Samaritan putting up a Jew at an inn, probably in Jericho, could be compared to a Plains Indian who is walking into Dodge City in America in 1875 with a scalped and wounded cowboy on his horse and checking into a room atop a saloon and spending the night taking care of the cowboy. This Indian would be fortunate to get out of Dodge alive. And such was the courage of the Samaritan, not only in stopping to try and save the man, but in taking him to an inn to care for him. For the young lawyer and for us, the parable is a lesson in the power of compassion to trump the boundaries. If the question prompting the story was, "Who is my neighbor?" the answer was, "The very next person that you meet, no matter what." The rules are broken, the fences come down, and prejudice dissipates when compassion wins. Each of us is broken. We have acted as the Levite and the priest. Perhaps we have been in our own situations when someone was in need and we turned away or walked past doing nothing. Maybe we've been on a school bus or in the halls at school and watched as a student was bullied and we did nothing. We've been in the grocery store and watched as a parent lost control, yelling or even hitting their child, and yet we did nothing. Maybe we've been out with a group of friends and a friend's spouse or significant other has berated our friend in front of the whole group, and we did nothing. And perhaps we make excuses as to why we didn't interfere. It wasn't our place, or we were afraid for our own safety. Maybe we didn't want to make a scene and draw attention to ourselves. Or perhaps we just really didn't know what to do. The reality is that we are all broken, and it is in our brokenness that we do nothing. Since the earliest days of the church, listeners of Jesus' story have seen the Good Samaritan as a Christ figure. We are the wounded and the dying. We are the broken and half dead. As it often is with Jesus, he sees our need and is moved with compassion. He will pay dearly for his compassion. He acts willfully, decidedly, and we are rescued and cared for beyond anything we might have imagined. Jesus' mercy is extravagant. He is for us a living sacrifice. May we do the same the next time we see our neighbor in need. My prayer is that the next time we see someone in need, we are able to look beyond our own brokenness and see our neighbor in need, so we can reach out to them as Jesus commands, showing them mercy and love and compassion and grace and all of its wonderfulness. Amen.